morning.
Good morning.
So this morning when I was reading the gospel at the 7:30 service, even though I'd read it many times all week, like something jumped out at me new. And it was that the wind and the waves obeyed him. And I thought, they did, but we don't. Maybe that's the whole message. But let's think about this gospel today. It's a well-known gospel, and it's one that we can easily enter into. Here, after a long day of proclaiming the word, of reaching out to the stranger, of healing, of feeding, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, come on, let's get going. Let's go over to the other side. The other side was the place where no one ever went. And so they get on the boat, just as they were, and they go into the darkness. And in the middle of the night, the storm comes up, and the winds begin to blow, and the waves come up, and they're tossing the boat to and fro, and the water is coming over the side. And the disciples are terrified. And we can imagine that. If you've ever been on a boat in a windstorm, I mean, it's a frightening experience. Right? I mean, we can imagine the visceral fear that they had. Like, oh my God, what are we doing following this guy? Right? I mean, this is our last night right here. And so they go to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, don't you care what is happening to us? And I wonder how many of us can actually relate to that question right there. Like, Jesus, we are being assaulted. The waves are tossing us. The water is coming over the side. We're drowning. Do you not care? Are you not with us? Perhaps it's the feeling we have when somebody we love is on the verge of death or illness has overtaken them or we've received a diagnosis that we can't comprehend or understand. You know, or perhaps it's just turning on the TV or opening the newspaper and hearing what's going on in the world and just the devolution of humanity, right? We feel assaulted. We can understand that visceral feeling of fear and terror. And for many of us, this is a new feeling. This feeling that we just are completely out of control. This helplessness, this weariness, this anger, this despair. We're not used to not being able to actually make sense out of things and fix things. And so we have to surrender to what's happening to us and be able to sit with it and in it and still somehow make sense out of it. It's new to us often, but it's not new to everybody. I think of our brothers and our sisters at Second Baptist and the stories that they've shared with us and how we learn that not just their generation, but the generations before them have known this feeling of despair and helplessness living in a world that just doesn't make sense. I think of the Palestinians that live in Gaza. I think of the refugees, both the Nuer and the Dinka from South Sudan, their little country, their new country just ravaged with civil war and people like the Kongs fleeing from the violence to a new country with nothing. There are so many people for so many generations that have known what it is to sit on that boat being tossed to and fro with the waves coming over the bow for years, for generations. And I think about our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and almost every time he preaches a sermon, he finds a way to work in this hymn that clearly is so poignant to him. He almost always quotes this hymn, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." And he talks about how that hymn was like a touchstone that the slaves could reach out to and find their faith. They could make sense of a world that was incomprehensible through their relationship in Jesus Christ. He continues with the hymn, "Sometimes I feel discouraged and think, my works in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revived my soul again. And I think he's pointing us, just like Mark is pointing us, that when we feel assaulted, regardless of the circumstances that overwhelm and challenging us, what we're called to do is to turn back to Jesus, to let Jesus be our rock, to let Jesus be our foundation, to be our drink of water in the desert, to be our hope, our light in the darkness. Jesus was on the boat that night. God's presence was in their midst. Love was there. Love is always with us, and God is always present if we have the mind to just turn back to Jesus. He stood up, and he stilled the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." And I wonder, was he talking to the wind and the waves? Or was he talking to the disciples? Is he talking to us? Note that Jesus did not say there is nothing to be afraid of. There are many fearful things in the world. There's many tragedies and there's many evil things. What he said is, why are you afraid? He was asking us, why do we still respond out of fear rather than respond out of faith? I mean, the reality is fear may seem like a reasonable response in our frightening world. It might seem like a reasonable response to any circumstances that is unknown or challenging or difficult or threatening. And it's true that fear does play a role in so many of our decisions and actions and conversations. But the reality is fear paralyzes us. Fear provokes us to anger. Fear stirs up unhelpful reactions. Fear holds us back rather than moving us forward. And so Jesus invites us to a response of faith, knowing that faith doesn't so much banish fear as it makes it possible to cope with it. And so maybe that's the issue. It's not whether or not we're afraid, but how we choose to respond. And Jesus isn't talking about faith in the sense of a belief or like this cognitive assent to an idea. Rather, he's talking about the kind of faith that moves us into action. Faith that brings up trust. The fear, the trust that we can show up, that we will be held, that we're not alone, that what we do matters, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Faith reminds us that we are truly children of God. And as children of God, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We so often forget that. We forget that our life doesn't just begin at birth and end at death, but that we're part of this much larger cosmic drama that's playing out over eons of time, and that God's love and God's goodness is what's fueling that drama. Faith does not allow fear to have the last word, and it leads us to a place of inner peace and hope. It equips us to act compassionately. And when we act out of love, knowing that we're spiritual beings, adding our human initiative to God's grace that acts in the world, then we don't have to be attached to the outcome. And we don't need to fear failure. We can act in faith and then allow God's grace to take over. Because the kingdom of God is dependent on both human initiative and God's grace. So what is it that moves us from a response of fear to a response of faith. I think with the disciples, it wasn't so much the action. It wasn't that Jesus was able to stand up and calm the storm. It was that Jesus stood up. And they experienced God's presence in the midst of the miracle. Because that's what the miracle is. It's not the act. It's the person. It's the feeling of God's presence. It's the feeling of his hand touching us. The intimacy of him being in our midst. Faith is about a relationship. The relationship we have with God, the source of love and life, that's revealed by the ministry and the words and the action of Jesus. The whole of the gospel is about calling us into relationship with Jesus the Christ, into this mystical union of spiritual beings, where we're caught up in God's holy embrace, and we're like literally part of the source of love and life. That's where we get, that's where the well we go to drink from, right? It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's how we anchor ourselves in that. So no matter what's happening around us, the chaos and the confusion, we're held in this place of deep peace and hope and confidence and trust that allows us to respond to what's happening around us with hope and loving acts. And the more I think about it, the longer I'm involved in this work, the more convinced I am that an outward response of faith is completely and utterly dependent on the development of an inner spiritual life and a relationship with Jesus the Christ. What we do in the world is utterly dependent on what we do in our prayer life. Are we waking up with Jesus? Are we sharing our meals with Jesus? Are we going to sleep with Jesus? Are we going to him in prayer, not listing everything that's wrong, but saying to him, embrace me. Sitting there, feeling that intimate love of God surrounding us and shining light upon us. Spending time listening to God whisper in our ears and our heart, building the pathway to the one who created us and the one who loves us. If we do that work every day, in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, then we have the pathway. We can go there when the winds come up, and we can sit in that place, and no matter what's going on around us, nothing can take that love away from us. Nothing can take the peace away from us. That doesn't mean everything's okay, but it means that we're standing on firm ground and we know that we're going to get through it. And we know that we're walking with the one whose mission was to reach out and to make sure all of God's children are loved. And we're part of God's children. We're walking with the one who would cross the rough sea to go to where no one else would go. We're walking with the one who would free people from anything that would keep them from abundant life. We're walking with the one who right now, this very moment, is reaching out to us, offering us the balm of Gilead and asking us, what are you afraid of? This Jesus is the one that we're invited to trust, to walk with. And it's that relationship we have with Jesus that allows us to respond in faith and overcome the fear that tosses us to and fro. We don't have to be afraid. Because God is with us. Love is with us. Fearsome things do not have ultimate power over us. So, how do we move forward? when the storm clouds gather and the darkness surrounds us? Well, we love God. We let God love us. We love our neighbors. We love each other. We hold each other. We tell the stories of Jesus. We remind each other of God's presence and love and promise in our midst. We remember to show up, to trust in God's presence, to be present to both the blessings and the sufferings in our midst, to look for what's good and kind and beautiful in the world, to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, to never doubt the power of prayer, and to never give up on the coming of the kingdom of God. When we do that, when we remind each other of God's steadfast loves, then we step into that biblical story that's played out for generations in the scripture, where at critical junctures, the apostles and the angels and the prophets show up and they say four simple words: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And when we say that to each other, when we hear that from each other, we know that God is with us and we can find the peace and the courage to respond in faith despite crashing waves and stormy seas. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, this week was on a late night show. And someone asked him what advice he may give to the leaders of our country. And he said, "Brother, brother, do what is good. Do what is just. Do what is kind. You'll be walking with Jesus." And so when the clouds get dark and the seas get rough, turn back to Jesus. Trust that God is with you. Trust in the power of prayer. Count your blessings. Give thanks. And love one another. Always love one another.